for, and you said, all of that for that last line in the chorus, right? You said, it was about being washed, and that's what the message is on today, is about being washed. And if you're in John 13 right now, I'm going to be reading a couple verses, go to some other scriptures, come back to John again. All right, so you can kind of keep your finger in John 13, because we'll be coming back to it in just a little bit. This is more, I don't know. I felt that it was going to be more a teaching kind of thing than just really preaching, but we'll see. So I have a number of scriptures, here we go. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
All right. John 13, starting in verse 8. Peter said unto him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And then Simon Peter said, "Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head." What's Peter saying there?
I'm all in.
Oh, I'm all in. And the messages that we've had over a good number of years, really, just like Dan was saying, the Spirit of God has been touching us over and over again, coming back, hammering us, taking the gold and hammering it, getting it malleable and pliable in His hands to be people that will change, that will be people that will listen to the Spirit of God. That won't be, and this has all been confirmed by what many people have already been saying. We want to change where God wants us to change. We don't want to change for the sake of change. We want. It's all about being obedient to the Spirit of God, to Jesus, to God the Father. Concept of how God relates to us in the ways that He does, that we be people that are really, really sensitive. And what happens in a religious kind of context is that we do get into the programs and we get into ways of doing things and we just click into it because it's easy. And we've pushed on this for a long time, to be open and allow the Spirit of God to move as He wants us to. And sometimes we're successful, sometimes we just click in and not think about it. But I think there's a sensitivity in this body to be people that want to be hearing the voice of God, and to, like Kim said, when you hear, you don't put it off. You obey at that time, right? So it's important for us to listen and to obey. I'm going to start with something that's very simple in the faith, basic in the faith. When Jesus is going to be talking here about washing, He says this in verse 10. Jesus said to him, "He that is washed doesn't need..." Now, what it means here is, doesn't need to wash himself again. If you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, if you've been washed by entering in to be a person who accepts Jesus' work on the cross, you don't need to get washed again. But He does say, right after that, save to wash His feet. Now, this is where I'm going to come back to. But I just want to make sure that we're very clear about this. That when we get washed, by the blood of the Lamb. The power of that blood and what we sang here this morning and who he is, the person of Christ, is certainly strong enough that once we get placed into his hand, that we never will leave. Is that right?
That's right.
But I want to say that there's, even with that and how we can just rest, how we can rest in that, there's more to this story. I know that you know this, but I want you to see it in this way. It's a wonderful thing. You know, you've been out in the woods for a few days, and you haven't washed. Doesn't it feel good to get home and get in the shower? There's something really great feeling about feeling clean. And the thing about Jesus, we are clean. Except for our feet. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But he says, if you've been washed, you don't need to get washed again. There's no need of that. We don't have to keep coming back and being saved over and over and over again. If we've been washed, we're washed. But boy, our feet can get dirty. Right? Okay, so I want you to see this whole thing. So, you know, he's saying, look, the body is washed. But, you know, you're walking in life and you're going to get dirty in life. But the body is taken care of. Now, look what it says here. If you want to follow along, you can. But it's in Romans chapter 6. And Romans 6:6 says this, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. So, you notice that Jesus washes us, and our body is washed, except for the feet, because we walk through this life. But the body is clean, isn't it? And the body of sin is taken care of. The body of it, the strength of it, the power of it, that controlled us when we were dead in our sins, we had no power to turn away. But once we've come to Christ, we now have that power. The body of sin is destroyed, but sin can still work at us, right? You know, in Philippians it says about working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And some people can look at that and say, well, you can't be sure you're saved. That isn't the way I see it. I see it just like this, that, you know what, I'm saved. But there's a lot more to experience in Christ, and we need to work that salvation out. It's been given to us. We have a free gift.
Yes.
Free gift that we don't have to work for. So what's all this working thing? What's this work out our salvation? Because there's something more as we get our feet dirty. We can't serve God the way we can if we're not all dirtied up. And God's looking, and how many times have we been saying this? God is looking for a people, individuals, and a people that see this, have grabbed a hold of this, have said, you know, I want to be used of God and mean it. Not in some religious kind of way where we think we're something better, but that God, working through us, can meet a dark world, that the light of his countenance can actually really flow through us. And we're not sitting there looking at ourselves. Look at us being so spiritual. Look at us reaching out. No, it's organic. It just happens. It flows out of us because that's the natural thing to do. It's not a religious activity. We're not trying to prove anything to God, because we can't. Can we? We're saved by grace. Through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But boy, there's something about faith that requires us to step out in faith, doesn't it? To step out and, you'll see somebody's faith by how they act, how they react, how they live their life, how they reach out and sacrifice in this area or that area. And we can't do that by some kind of prescribed formula. We can't do that if we're all uptight about walking with God. The more I've got to know Jesus, the more I see that there's a lot to do. Yeah? A lot to do inside of me and outside of me. But you know, the more I get to know Jesus, I know that He can do it through this, short little vessel that has a hard time speaking sometimes. He can do that, and He can do that with me, He can do that with you, and that's what you need to get, that God keeps pumping out to you. You're involved in this kingdom of God, this preaching the kingdom, this proclaiming the coming of the King. You are, not just the preacher that preaches on Sunday mornings, but all of us. And the way we proclaim that is going to be the way we live our lives. And it is so important. I'm waking up more and more to it. It's so important that we be people that have good character. That really do hate even the little sin, let alone the big ones. We've got to be serious.
You know, I wanted to say,
there's all kinds of movements going on, especially in this country, but it's around the world, and it's mostly exported from this country. I want to make sure that we have this balance right, because the Holy Spirit needs to be who is really in charge. And we want to be sure that it's the real Holy Spirit that is moving upon us. And there's a lot of false stuff out there. You know that. Just because somebody says Jesus' name doesn't mean they're moving in the Spirit of God necessarily. And you and I need to have discernment about that. You look and see. You and I need to discern things, because you don't want to get caught up in a bunch of self-centered. I still see this in the Church of Jesus Christ, where the church can be so self-centered. We say that we're centered on Christ and that we love Jesus, but we want everything coming to us. We want Jesus' blessing coming to us. We want all of these things focused on what's going to be good for us. And we got to be careful about that. God will bless us because He likes blessing us. He's going to do that anyway. That's in His nature. But we want to be careful. And we want to be careful about manifestations, because not everything about the Holy Spirit that people talk about in churches is necessarily the Holy Spirit. If people are jerking around and you don't see any real change in their hearts. And you know, that takes time. You don't just sit there and make an instant judgment. But you watch, and you have to be careful about this. I was on the, what do you call that, the internet, yesterday, and there was this video of something that was going on, and the people were in line, and people were coming by, and people were, that's what the Holy Spirit does to me. But just be careful, okay? Just be careful with that, because to me it didn't give glory to God. They spent a whole bunch of time laying hands on people. Nothing wrong with laying on their hands, laying hands on people, and people are jerking around, and they're making sounds. It draws attention to the people, not to God. It doesn't really. It's a self-centered thing. And I don't say this lightly, because I want to be careful that I don't attribute something to the devil and it actually be the Spirit of God. So I'm saying this with a carefulness. You be careful about that kind of stuff. I don't know, God can do anything, and people can react in certain ways, but there's something that you watch, you're going to have to watch with these kinds of situations that are out there in the church world, that you don't get caught up in it. We're certainly not going to hear. And if you think that means that we're not going to be led by the Spirit, people look for these grand manifestations, when what we should do is look for the fruit of the Spirit. You know if the Holy Spirit is here, because there's fruit. There's produce. There's the actual product of the Holy Spirit being in a group of people, in you as an individual, as us as a church body. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Tell me.
Love.
Peace. What else?
Joy.
Love, joy, peace. What else?
Long suffering.
What else?
Self-control.
Kindness. Goodness. Do we get them yet? Gentleness. Faith, you can throw them all in there. You know, you read so many different versions of the Bible, and then one word is used in place of some other one in the versions, and then you go, now is it gentleness or is it kindness? And you can get it all mixed up. But anyway, all of that is... That's where you know you have the Holy Spirit flowing in your midst. People want the gifts of the Spirit flowing, and that needs to happen too. But that's not the only way that you as an individual can discern whether things are moving by the Spirit, which is what we all want, isn't it? It's going to be the fruit of the Spirit that makes the difference. That's where we need to draw lines. And that's important for us, that people, and these are people washed in the blood of the Lamb. I believe that most of them are, anyway. But there's more to this walk than just getting saved. That's not the end of the matter. Is it? What does the Lord say we're supposed to do? Are we supposed to go out and save people? We're supposed to go out and save them.
No.
Because we can't do that, can we? No, that's up to the Spirit of God to touch somebody's heart. We don't save. But you know what Jesus tells us to do? And I know you have made disciples. We have to be people that are, wow, engaged with one another. And if you notice, I'm going to jump ahead. If you notice, if you go down to verse 14, I think it is, in John chapter 13. Coming back to it faster than I am. John 13, 14. Somebody read that, please.
If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet.
Ah. Oh, now, is that just... I guess that just means a physical foot washing ceremony. We need to do foot washing ceremonies once a month. You think that that's what it is? Or is Jesus saying something that could be found on two different levels? Because to me, if he, being the master, has washed us, do we have a responsibility to one another to bring one another along too?
Yes.
Yeah. And that requires something out of us. That requires a humility, which is part of foot washing, the physical foot washing anyway, isn't it? It requires a humility to say, oh, I don't always do it right. Oh, I can make mistakes. I can be a Christian. I can be a pastor of a church. And I can make mistakes. And you know what? Others might see those mistakes. I might not be able to hide all of them. And somebody's going to see. And somebody might even have the courage to come and say, Malcolm, I really noticed this. Do I need to be washed?
Yes.
Sure I do. And so do you. And we have to be vulnerable. See, we don't like that. We need to be vulnerable to one another. And as much as all of you and me are saying, oh yeah, I love being vulnerable. There's not one single person here that really does. You might put it on right now and make yourself say, I don't mind here. No, we can be very defensive. We want people to think only the very best, which is, I mean, that's a good thing. But you understand? See? And this is why most churches don't do this kind of thing. And this is why it takes year upon year upon year to say the very things that we've said over and over and over again. Because it's a hard nut to crack. It is in my life, I'm sure it is for you. But, you know, somebody, apparently, I think if I read right, somebody's going to be willing to do that. We're not going to be little spiritual busybodies. You know, oh, I saw this about you, and I saw that about you, and I saw this. No, that isn't what... Please, don't get the wrong idea. We're talking about people that know one another, pray for one another, ask God when is the right time to say something. Just because we see something, we don't jump at them like a cat. We're careful. We're long-suffering. We're compassionate. We want to be loving in the way that we do things. We're not going to point our fingers because, you know, like the old adage said, you know, there's three pointing back at you. You know, we need to be careful about all this kind of stuff. But still, it needs to be something that we do. As much as we've got, I think we really love one another and know one another, you know, decently. I think we're still scared of each other. We're scared of what people are going to think. It's that general thing, you know. Well, most people, Rich. Rich isn't a free man. But most people are. Most people are afraid of what people think of them. Or you put on a particular air about yourself. And even being quiet and withdrawn, that's a lot of times fear, isn't it? And really, the opposite is true. Somebody comes off a lot of bravado, they're really putting a shield up between them and the rest of the people. Walking with God is a little different than what we think. You know?
I was going to go through some things, but about the blood of Christ, how we're washed in the blood. And I think you've heard that so much, I don't feel like I'll have to go there. But let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Are you in Ephesians chapter 5?
Yes.
All right, good. You stay right there. Now, this is true. This is a true thing. How many of you believe this is the truth right here? This is truth, doesn't it?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 6:12 says this: "All things are lawful unto me, but all things aren't profitable for me." You know, we're not under the law. We're under what? Grace. We can do anything. But you know what? There's still consequences for it. Oh, I think I'll just go out and drink myself into oblivion. I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven. You know, there's going to be a physical consequence to that. Isn't there? And there's probably going to be a social consequence to that. It doesn't just go away because we can do all things. We can. You can do anything you want to. You can go to heaven. But I would wonder, you know, something's wrong in our heads if we take that approach. Oh, I can do this? I'm going to do it then. And then you're going to get smacked in the face with the reality of what that means. Right? So just like Paul says, all things are lawful. We're not under the law. We're under grace. But not everything is going to be profitable to me. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what. You and I have to have a ruthless, yeah, ruthless approach to this.
Right.
And we don't.
I am just starting to see how easy I am with myself. And how easy I'll just kind of let those thoughts or let that feeling come in where I need to turn right away from it right away. And I got to be ruthless. No, I am not going to think that way. I am not going to allow that worrisome spirit to plague me and make me wonder what's going to happen with so-and-so and what's going on with this or how's this going to happen. And that plaguing, anxious thoughts can really drive me down the wrong way. How about you?
Yep.
Yeah. And yet we allow that to play in our minds. If we're going to be children of light and walk in the light, well, gosh, we can't. We don't have time for this other stuff. How serious, how all in are we, really? We can talk up the game all we want. And we need on a daily, constant basis, need to be really making a real connection with God. Not in just, Lord, bless me and bless this and let everything come to me, but no, Lord, I want to serve you. And that's going to require something different.
Okay. I am going to get to the conclusion here. Go to 2 Timothy. I didn't read it yet, did I? Oh, I just do that all the time, don't I? All right. Somebody want to read Ephesians 5, 25 to 27.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved what? The church.
Oh, was that 25?
Yes.
I guess somebody, you know, that was the spirit, that was the moving of the Spirit of God in this church. He had me write 25 down when I didn't want that.
Is that
all right? So I meant 26, but that's good. All right, go ahead.
Husbands, love your wives just as Christ. You want to stop me again?
Nope.
And gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish.
Hallelujah. That's what God wants.
Yes.
We have what we want, but God has what he wants, and that's what he wants. And our walk with God should be about what he wants. We can ask God for things, no problem, because that's in his nature. But the focus of our life, from the time we leave here until next week, same time, same station, you know, is one where our focus is supposed to be on the Lord, pleasing the Lord in all things, right? And I don't, you know, we want that, we forebrain that, we think that, and we want it to be that way. But there needs to be a deeper reaching in. Do you think that you need that?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, all right, so, yeah, all right, so now we're on verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Somebody was saying about the was it Robin? About the rivers of living water. You know, these rivers of living water that are to flow out from our belly, right? That doesn't happen unless we're really washed the water has to be really in a big flow here. Now notice here that, and that's not going to flow if we're tolerant of the way that we live, when it's not in accordance to the things of Jesus. In verse 19 it says this, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth. Some to honor, some to dishonor. Now, let me make this clear. Do you want to be a vessel of honor or one of dishonor? I think everybody knows what the answer to that is for yourself. You want to be a vessel of honor. Well, this is what it says as we keep going. If. Is that what it says there? If. I circled the number and I cut off that word with my pen. It says if, doesn't it? If a man, therefore, purges himself from these. Oh, do we have something to do with it?
Yes.
Purges himself. Because some teaching is, oh, well, the Holy Spirit will take care of that. The Holy Spirit isn't going to take care of that if you don't let the Holy Spirit take care of that.
Right, right. You have to make the choice.
So if a man, therefore, purge himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor. Sanctified, suitable for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, which follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they just gender stripes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. I'm talking about the servant of the Lord, right? In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You know, when you're not listening to the Spirit of God, when you're just kind of going your own way, and, oh, this is so beyond. I mean, God doesn't require all of us to really, you know, pray at all times or always to be thinking about Him. I got all this other stuff I got to do. I mean, you're just nuts, Malcolm. You're just nuts.
No.
And this isn't. I hope you don't. I don't want you to get the wrong idea here. This isn't I got to work now, and now I got all this stuff I got to do, and I got to get rid of this in my life, and I got to get rid of that in my life. You know what? Don't you feel when we were singing songs, especially, you know, and your spirit is touching the Spirit of God? Don't you want it to be that way?
Yeah.
Aren't you happy when you're in that state? This is a joy for God to give us strong words for to rattle our cage a little bit. Make us really think of who we are. We're ambassadors of the King. We're children of God. We're called as a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. But we think that we can just act like we used to act. And that isn't... No, there's something different that's going to have to happen.
I just think it would be so nice to be able to, like, see someone that's struggling, doesn't know the Lord, and go to them and show them and tell them, like, God, I think that's what God wants us to do.
Yeah. And if we're doing a lot of struggling and we're dealing with all kinds of things where we're not laying it at the Lord's feet, I mean, nobody's going to be perfect. We can't be perfect before we go out, but we're going to reach out to people. But But, you know, we have to have a heart that says, you know what, God, I do want to serve you. I do want to lay aside my life. You got to have that. Don't you? And we get reminded of this, and like Dan said, maybe a lot we get reminded. But I think the Lord's call has called us in that direction, don't you?
Yes.
So, you know, somebody was talking about a tidal wave dream. I've had some tidal wave dreams. And, you know, the first time I had a tidal wave dream, I saw this big tidal wave coming up. And I turned and I ran. The second time I had the tidal wave dream, a couple years later, I went, no, I'm not running. I ran at the tidal wave and jumped into the base of the tidal wave. And oh, gee, there's a big difference there, isn't there? We need to be all in with the Lord. Are you ready? Are you ready for that? Because as a church, it would be really great to do it all together, to all be in agreement together. But as individuals, we will do this as we need to do it as individuals. Well, it's better if we're together. Don't you think?
Yes.
So Lord, I just pray that you bless us today with a deeper understanding of this, a deeper love for you, a deeper knowing of you, a deeper focus on you, that we keep our eyes on you, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord, that we draw our strength from you, that, Lord, you don't give us a spirit of fear, but Lord, we move in love and power and a sound mind as we take these choices and steps toward serving you with all of our heart. So Lord, be with us all today in all the different ways that we are different from one another and have things to do. So Jesus, I love you. Bless, Lord, the word. That we be washed clean in the Word, that rhema Word, Lord God. Thank you, God.
Anybody want to follow up on that? Kim, did I see your hand up there?